I know this is not popular because all the world buys into Halloween and the things of Halloween, and everybody thinks because all the world buys into it that it's all right because everybody else does it. But you know, there's a lot of things that everybody else does that's not right. Not right in the eyes of the Lord. And so let's just look at some things here. We'll try to do a little teaching. I'll try to get it through kind of fast. I know worships went a little long and that kind of thing. But look at Romans 6:16 with me, if you would. Romans 6:16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now notice what Paul says here. He says, "Don't you know that whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are." And so what Paul is telling us is whoever we submit ourselves under, then that's who has the command over us. Now, the Bible teaches us very plainly that you cannot serve two masters. See, there's only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. You can only be in one kingdom. No such thing as straddling a fence. Come on now. You see, in whatever your kingdom you're in, that's the master that you submit yourself to, and that's who you obey. So he says this, if you're obeying God, then you're God's servant. But if you're obeying Satan, then you're his servant. Now, nobody said, you know, I would never serve Satan. Well, see, here's the thing. He's pretty sly with it. He sneaks things in on you and makes you think there's nothing wrong with it, when the truth is he's getting a toehold on you. He didn't come in and completely lie to Adam and Eve when he deceived them in the garden. Right? All he did was get them to think in their mind that it would be okay. Right? Hath God said. Well, God, God knows you'll be like gods. No, right? And so because of the thought that he planted, Eve looked at the tree, saw it was good to look at, and thought the fruit would be good. And so she took the fruit and gave it to her husband that was there with her. How many knows that was wrong? God had said, don't eat from that tree. So here, Paul's trying to let us know. He says, you can only serve one master, and whoever it is that you allow to put yourself under, then you're their servant. Whether you're a servant to righteousness, which is on God's side, or a servant to sin. So we have to be careful what we allow ourselves to get into. Amen. We'll get into this. Okay? So we're going to talk about Halloween just a little bit. And let me just give you some background, and you've gotten it before, but let's just take our time and just see a little bit. Halloween really, it's not holy at all. There's nothing about holy about Halloween. That's the title of my message tonight. Nothing holy about it. Matter of fact, it dates back to way over 2,000 years ago, back to the Celtics. Or you could call them Celtics. The women that sing, they call them Celtics, but it's spelled Celtics. So the Boston Celtics. So I'm going to call it Celtics, okay? Is that all right with you guys? You know, if you go to one of those concerts, you can call them Celtics, but I'm going to call it Celtics because it's easier. Okay? But it dates back to that, and it dates back to a god named Samhain. Now, it's spelled, it's kind of odd. It's spelled Samhain, two words, but it's pronounced Samhain. And he was the god of the dead. Now, he had priests who were called druids at the time, and so they were there. And the Day of the Dead was celebrated on October the 31st, or the night or the eve before what they call the Day of the Dead. Now, November the 1st through the springtime was known as the dead season. How many knows? Of course, even around here from November on, pretty well everything's leaves are falling, everything looks dead. And they called it the dead season. And so this tradition, this thing got started back then as one of their festivals. It was called the Festival of Sowing. And so what would happen was they believed on the eve of the Day of the Dead that it was a time that the spirits would come back to the earth, of those that had died, would come back to the earth looking for where they're really supposed to go to. And it was believed not only good spirits, but evil spirits came back. And so the people would prepare for that. And so what they would do is they would put on costumes, disguise themselves, so that the spirits couldn't recognize them. And they would look for their family members to try to guide them in the way they should go. But at the same time, they were disguised from the evil spirits that were supposed to be walking around. Now, they would also take gourds and carve gourds out, paint ugly little faces, mean little faces, and that kind of thing. They would carve them out and paint them up, and they would put something in them, candle wax and a candle, to light up and put outside to try to ward off evil spirits. But also, during this time, the druid priest would come around to the houses, and they would ask for a sacrifice for their feast. Preferably a live human being, and preferably a child that they could sacrifice, that they could burn. Now, if somebody gave a sacrifice, then those druid priests would put one of those gourds outside, symbolizing to the evil spirits that this house has given us something to sacrifice. Now, something else that they would do sometimes, because they were so afraid of the evil spirits, they thought maybe that if they put some food outside or left some kind of treat for the evil spirit, that they would take the treat and leave them alone and they wouldn't have to face the consequences of what the evil spirits wanted to do to them. So we can see some things going on here. This is the origin of Halloween. Anybody seen anything holy about any of that yet? No, there wasn't anything holy about that. But see, here's what happened. They even got in as this tradition went on. They started doing crazy things like burning. They'd have a big bonfire. They'd put all the lights out in all their homes and have all the fires out in that. And then they'd have a big bonfire, and everybody would contribute something to the bonfire. And then each one of them would take a flame from that fire and go back and light up their house. They also got into a thing that might be familiar to it. It was called bobbing for apples. You know that innocent little game? Right? Fun? But you see, it started back here because what they did, they believed that if a female could stick her head down in that bucket of water and come up with one of those apples, that she could peel the apple, throw it over her shoulder, and turn around and see who her future husband would be. It was divination. You see, all part of that. So I just want you to kind of see how this is going. Now, the witches, they believed that this night was their greatest night of power. Now, Halloween, around the 1920s, first part of the 1920s, it began to diminish, and then around the 1920s, it started coming back. Some cities started bringing it back, and they started, you know, celebrating again, and it started getting more popular. And then that's when they started carving pumpkins instead of gourds. So they brought the pumpkins into that here in the United States. Now, also what was brought into it in the United States is this. Halloween is considered by Satanists to be their holiday. It's their most holy day towards Satan. Halloween is. So I just want you to understand where the background of this is and what's going on during this. Matter of fact, you know, when the Romans captured the Celtics or Celtics at that time, they hated this festival and they wanted to do something about it, you know, because Romans were the Catholics and they were trying to get it away from all this evil stuff and get it back godly. So they said, let's just change this and let's have it. Let's be All Hallows Eve, and we'll honor the dead saints that have gone on. Well, you know, that didn't work because they didn't want to change their customs and traditions, and so they started blending it then. And now here it got into the Catholic Church, and it's all blended up now. And it went from All Hallows Eve to All Saints Day to All Hallows Eve or All Hallows Evening. And it just kept translating over till we finally got to Halloween. And so here we are today now, still celebrating Halloween. How many of you, besides you hearing me, knew the history behind Halloween before? See, there's one or two or three of you that knew. Most people did not know. I did not know. Listen, church, as Pastor Ed said, when we were young, we celebrated Halloween. We didn't know. You know, we did. She said, you know, we didn't do anything evil, but I did some things that were mean. You know, part of what we did back when we celebrated Halloween, it wasn't just one Halloween day. There was 3 days of it. Soap night, corn night, and Halloween. There was a night you went out and soaked windows. There was one night you went out and corned houses. And there was a night that was Halloween. And you roadblocked and you did all kinds of crazy stuff. Cut trees across the road. I've said this before, you know, Royalton was considered probably the worst place, and they'd put, you know, junk washers, dryers, and all those kinds of things out in the road, and, you know, the county or the state would go pick them up, and they'd bring them back to the top of the Mine Fork Hill and dump them out. Well, oh joy. Now we had something to put out in the road up there. You know, I mean, I can remember when I wasn't very big, we set a roadblock and the police came, the lights went on. I've told you all this tale before, but Brother Tim Tackett had me out. I just smiled. And we'd set that roadblock and blue lights went on and we took off running. We came to a bridge and he just took me and threw me over the bridge into the creek. Jumped in behind me, you know, so we could get away and hide from him. You know, I mean, you know, we weren't doing evil things, but here's the thing, and I talk about this sometimes, but, you know, what if somebody needed an ambulance? And it was a life or death situation, and here we had the roadblock with trees. And the bad part about, you know, at least on Mine Fork, and it was other places too, a lot of times, and later on, you know, as the guys got older, they'd go back on the Mine Fork Hill, and they'd take ropes and tie it to trees and saw the trees almost all the way down. But the ropes wouldn't let them fall. And so then they'd set roadblocks on down the road, and when the police would come, and they would because you was blocking roads, you know, the police would come, and when they'd stop at that roadblock, they'd cut the ropes behind them and let the trees fall behind them so they could block in the police. I mean, see, this was just, you know, we thought it was innocent fun, and they thought it was innocent fun, and they didn't really mean evil by it. But here's the thing, other places a lot worse was going on. In other places, there were people that were killing animals to sacrifice them to Satan, and killing babies if they could get a hold of them to sacrifice them to Satan because it was their holiday, their holy day. And so this is some of the background of Halloween. Now, we didn't know any better. Thank God when I started learning better, I asked God to forgive me and He forgave me. Amen. As Pastor Ed said, I'm glad we learned about it before we really started getting Stephanie into all these things. But I just wanted to bring this back because I want to show you something here. Now think about what I said about Halloween. Where are we at today with it? All the same rituals are being practiced just in a different way. Right? We're still dressing up. Right? We're dressing up our kids as ghosts, goblins, and witches. Right? Now, here's the thing. We're teaching them over here, bad devil, and then turn them around. It's all right to dress up like a witch or a devil. Come on now. See, Halloween is nothing but to instill fear. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Satan wants to instill us with fear, and when we get into this stuff, we're starting to instill fear into our kids. Now, I know it's quiet because what I'm saying is not popular because most of us are guilty. But, you know, if you don't know the truth, then you can't change. But once you know the truth, then you can. That's the wonderful thing about God is He forgives us when we ask Him to forgive us. Now, while you say, well, why are you saying all this? I'm saying all this because You have to understand the spiritual implications behind things that you do and things that are going on. I understand that everybody says, well, you know, this is just about kids. And I got, and over the years, I've gotten emails and I've gotten letters and I've got things from people that said, I'll have you know that I take my kids trick-or-treating and we just have a good time. Well, if that's what you want to do, you just go ahead. You don't understand the spiritual implications of what you just did. See, everybody looks at things from the natural. And, you know, now that's what everybody said. You know, it's just a fun time for the kids. Well, how come 31% of all Halloween costumes that are sold are bought by adults then? Think about it for a minute. It's just all about the kids. No, it's not. Now, the kids are part of that. But Satan likes to use kids. He's after our kids. You have to see the spiritual implications. You can't dress your kid up like a devil and tell him the devil's bad then. Because what you're saying to your kid is you're bad. Come on. And I know folks, you know, when I just tell you, we dress up as biblical characters. Which one do you dress your kids up as? You dress them up like Moses? You think Moses would celebrate Halloween? Satan's holiday? You dress them up like David? Dress them up like Mary? Come on, think about it for a minute. Well, we dress them up like princesses, and it don't matter what costume it is. When we do that, when we celebrate that day, we're celebrating with Satan and Satanist. I know this is not popular, but I'm just telling you how it is. You say, no, that's not what I do. Well, you're doing it on that day, aren't you? You're doing what they did, right? You're dressing up, going out, asking for a gift, and supposedly you say trick or treat, so you're saying either give me something or we're going to trick you, we're going to do something to you. And we meant it. When we went around, if somebody didn't give us candy, man, we'd soap their windows. You know, I mean, it just kept getting worse. I mean, it went from corn in houses. That was that kind of an innocent thing because people would get that corn feed to their chickens back then. You know, but then they started throwing rocks and gravels. And then when it went from corn in houses to corn in cars, and it went from corn in cars to rocking cars, it went from rocking cars to egging cars. Come on, see, it just progressively got worse. Why? Because it ain't nothing holy about it. It's an evil time. Progressively got worse. And so I just want to bring this about, and this is all for your consideration. You do what you want to do, because that's what people do anyway. But you won't be able to say, well, I never did hear about that, because you heard about it here. Now, ain't a lot of other places talking about it, but you heard about it here. And they talk about me, so I don't care if I'm talking about me. I'm still going to tell you what the Bible says about things and tell you the truth about things, you know, whether the world does or not. But see, and the reason a lot of churches won't tell you anything is because they celebrate it. Some turn their churches into haunted houses. Make money off from it. Amen. They won't preach tithes and offerings and giving, but they'll have a haunted house or something in the church so that they can make money. Come on now. I'm just trying to help you. See, we're creating an atmosphere of fear with our kids. We're really, you know, we're kind of doing Satan's job for him. He don't have to come after our kids. We're taking them to him. Just because the world does, and just because it's a national holiday, does not mean it's godly, or from God, or of God, or God doesn't have any part in it. Remember that. See, and I just want to just give this to you because you kind of need to see this. Okay, now if you're like me and you're guilty, don't get condemned about it. Just say, "My, I didn't know that. Act, forgive me, Lord." You know, I mean, I've dressed up like everything before as an adult. You know, I was a drag queen when I didn't know what a drag queen was. Seriously, I dressed up like a woman one Halloween. I had the pantyhose on and the whole deal. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm guilty 100%. Way guilty. But I didn't know any better. I didn't know that the evil implications of that, you know, wasn't serving God like I should have been serving God anyway, if I was even serving Him at all at that time. You know. So I was out. I was lost already. But I'm just telling you that, you know, as Christians, we kind of got to watch the things we do, okay? Now, listen to this, and this kind of blew my mind this year. Last year, an all-time high of $10.6 billion was spent on Halloween by Americans. $10.6 billion on costumes and candy and stuff to do with Halloween. No wonder the world starts Halloween in July. They want to sell you stuff. Projected next year, $12.1 billion. And then you talk to people, we're broke. Right? Ain't got no money, but they got money to spend on Halloween. I mean, come on, look. Used to, Christmas, there was some decorations, but now Halloween probably gets more decorations than Christmas. And you know, the sad part is, nobody complains about Halloween decorations in yards and on houses and on trees and whatever, but put you out in a nativity scene and watch what happens. It's no problem to hang up Halloween stuff in a courthouse or in a school or somewhere like that, but go in there and start hanging up Jesus stuff. Do you understand what's going on? See, you have to see the spiritual implications of all this is to make the evilness acceptable and the righteousness wrong. That's what our world's trying to do right now. Why in the world do you think they just bombed Israel? Why not bomb some of the other places? Because Israel is God's chosen people, and Israel is God's chosen nation. And Satan hates Israel and the Jews. And so he wants, I mean, their goal is to wipe them off the face of the earth. Satan's goal is to get rid of everything that's God on this earth. And so we have to understand that's part of what's going on. So when you see all this and see all this money, I mean, my goodness, what could have been done with $10.6 billion? Amen. See, when we look at some things like that, it messes with us to a certain extent, but then we just think, well, that's you know, it's okay. And again, you know, like I said, 31% of adults say they're going to dress up this year. So, when you start looking at things, you know, you have to see where it's coming from. What does God say about this altogether, though? We talked about, you know, who you submit yourselves to. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's kind of move on a little bit now. I just wanted you to get a good picture of Halloween, how it originated, and how we're still carrying it out today. It's a little different form, but it's still... we're still carrying out the same festival for a false god, and it's a false holiday, a pagan holiday. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Notice what God says about this thing. He says, light and dark can't dwell together. God and Satan, they're not in cohorts together. So He says to come out from among them. He's telling us that we can't do what the world does. You know, when it's talking about, you know, not being yoked together with unbelievers, it's hard, and it happens, and thank God sometimes they're successful. But, you know, a lot of marriages, you know, somebody will be unsaved and the other one's saved. And, you know, I'll always advise them, you need to get saved. You don't need to get married with when you're unequally yoked. Now, I'll still do it if that's what they want, but I'll make sure that I warn them you can have some problems, because what happens a lot of times is that unbeliever won't go to church. And the believer wants to go, but because the unbeliever keeps staying at the house, especially if it's a husband that's an unbeliever, then the wife will, she'll just stay home under the influence of the husband. Right? That's what Paul wrote. Paul wrote and talked about it. He said you're better off for the man or the woman to stay unmarried, because if they're married, then they're going to carry about the things of the spouse more than the things of God. Amen. That's what your Bible says. But, you know, it goes on and tells you, you know, it's better to marry than to burn. So, you know, you have to weigh those things out. But you have to be careful, even in businesses and those kind of things, about getting yoked up with unbelievers, because you can be in business with somebody that's an unbeliever, and they won't want to give God His part, and so God can't bless your business like He could if that business could give to God. You know, because the unbeliever really wouldn't understand about, and then sometimes they do, but that's what it's trying to tell us here, is that we need to be careful about our associations and make sure that whoever we're yoked up or part of or with, they understand the things of God or are in the kingdom of God. So it's talking about us, you know, just, you know, not getting being affected and just coming out from among them. Now, I want to address this just a little bit, because it is tough. It's hard in the days that we're living in now, because everything is looked at now with such a nonchalant attitude. The church looks at Halloween with such a nonchalant attitude. You know, I don't see what the big deal is. Some of you probably thinking that today. I don't see what the big deal is. That's the problem. You don't see what the big deal is. See, when we understand there's a spiritual underlay that's going on, the enemy's working to try to get in all kinds of things. And so he'll make things look like it's just something it's just make-believe, you know. But here's what you've got to understand. Make-believe many times turns into fact. Just go ask the law enforcement how many murders that they went to that person that did the murdering started out playing one of the games where they was killing people. That game was make-believe, but they brought it into reality. You have to be careful about these things. So the people just take it as nonchalant. Matter of fact, we're living in times right now that If it's good, it gets condemned, and if it's bad, nobody says anything about it. Okay, right? For example, you know, you all that are in government jobs, state jobs, and that kind of thing, especially in the school systems, you know, they're going to have Halloween parties. It don't matter. They're going to have them. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, they're going to have. And if you say anything, you know, they're going to have them anyway. And some of you teachers and some of you all that are involved in some of that, you know, you're put in this position to where you don't have much choice. Especially those that, you know, don't have tenure and that kind of thing. And then there's that peer pressure. You mean you're not going to dress up? And you say, no, I'm not. They don't understand. They don't understand. Matter of fact, they'll think you're an idiot because you won't dress up with them when you tell them, and I don't celebrate Halloween. Your kids are under the same peer pressure. Because here's a Halloween party and they're not. Everybody's supposed to dress up this and tonight or tomorrow. And you don't let your kid dress up. they're under peer pressure from that. You know, we've chosen many times just to let Lillian stay home so she don't have to go and be part of that. And you say, well, you're depriving her. No. I'm blessing her. Her parents are blessing her. Yeah, but she's going to miss out on all the fun. That's not the kind of fun I want her to grow up in. I want her to grow up in fun like this fall carnival is going to be, where it's a bunch of Christians or the ones she goes to church with and that kind of thing, not celebrating having a Halloween party. See, because it's still the celebration. It's the thing. So you're in that place. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you take that stand, it's going to be hard because, like I said, your peers are going to talk about you. They say things like that. You know, and sometimes you're at that place where there's no choice. You just lose your job if you don't. So you have to do what you have to do, but God knows where you're at in this thing. And you have to talk to God about that. And sometimes you just make a stand just to go ahead and, yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't care what everybody else does. You know, Shammah, when it came time to take care of his pea patch, everybody else took off. And when the Philistine army came to steal his peas, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he whipped that whole army. And he had kept his peace. What I'm saying is the Lord will bless you for being faithful to him. So, you know, you have to just decide what you're going to do. And again, I understand the times we're living in. There's all kinds of pressures and all kinds of peer pressure. But realize, if it was the other way around and you was trying to get them to have a God party, right? We're going to celebrate. Asked somebody the other day, you know, they said, well, you know, they get dressed. I said, well, what if somebody comes to school wearing a Jesus costume? Wonder if anybody say anything about that. Starts giving the kids tracts and talking to them about the scriptures. Come on now, they dress up characters and bring in there and they talk about different things about Halloween and stuff. But what if they dressed up like Jesus, went up in there and started talking about God, about getting saved and stuff? Bet you that'd be a parents' meeting. Come on now. I mean, you know, places, business, play Christian music. They have people come up to the counter and complain because they're playing Christian music. What I'm trying to tell you is people don't like what's good. They like what's bad. They won't say nothing about the bad, but they'll say stuff about the good. They'll come against it. So he says that we got to come out away from that and be separate from that. Now, you know, again, there's a way that you can be separate. You don't have to, nobody don't got to have to know that we don't practice Halloween. You just, like I said, you just let your kids stay home. Now, I'm not promoting kids staying home, but they stay in home anyway. Come on now. Since COVID, they've never been able to get their numbers back up either. We worry about the church, but the schools ain't been able to get their kids to come back neither. They're having a hard time. Why? Because we're living in a world where parents just don't seem to care. A lot of them just don't care. They're so self-absorbed in themselves and hooked on drugs and all that kind of thing. The enemy has such a hold that they're not taking care of their kids. That's why you see so many grandparents raising kids. Thank God for grandparents. Amen. That they'll do that. So he says, come out from among them. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place. Let me ask you all a question. You know, we used to, all the time, New Year's Eve used to, how many old enough remember when New Year's Eve used to be all night horror movies? They say 4 or 5, that's 10 or 12 of us, maybe 15. All night long, New Year's Eve, horror movies. You couldn't wait to watch those horror movies because you wanted to get scared. Right? You know, wanted to watch those things. And some of you still, you know, there's all kinds that come out now. There's, you know, everything out there, you know. And what we were doing, we didn't realize it, but we were getting ourselves instilled in fear. Let's just be honest with you. How many of you show of hands whenever you'd be out by yourself in the dark somewhere, nobody around? Some of them thoughts of them movies start coming running back through your head. Thank you for your honesty. It would never fail. I'd be hunting by myself in the woods, and it start to get a little dark and stuff. And I know it's going to be dark trying to get in the house. I've got a gun, but I'm still, the movies are playing in my head now, you know, and I'm, amen. You know, I was young, but yeah, that's what can happen to you. See, whatever you let in can replay. Once you let fear in, fear can come back whenever it wants to because you gave it place in your life. So part of not celebrating Halloween is to keep that from instilling fear. And I know people say all the time, well, now I'm going to tell you something, it don't bother me. Well, you know, I could watch it and it's not going to bother me anymore either because I know who God is and I know who the devil is and the devil's already been defeated. But I'm going to tell you, when you're letting your kids get involved in things, there's been this big uproar around here. I don't know if you all heard a lot about it, but anybody seen the big billboard down here? Dark baptism, talking about the haunted house over in Fallsburg and all that kind of thing. You know, I heard people say, I've been there 20 times. You know, they like to get in. They like to, fear causes the adrenaline to rush. But you've got to be careful about letting fear in because the Bible says fear causes torment. So you have to be careful as a child of God the kind of places you go and where you let your kids go. I don't care how much they cry. I don't care how much they kick. I don't matter how much they fuss. I don't care about how much they say, well, everybody else is getting to go. Let me ask you something. You want your kid, and that's the big thing. I don't want my kid left out. Well, what about when the rest of the kids start doing drugs? Come on, you don't want them left out. You want them to get high, don't you? Right? You want them to try drugs, right? You want them to try alcohol, right? No, you don't. You want to protect them from that. But you see, you've got to protect them all the way. Bring up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. You got to bring them up in that way. If you don't bring, you can't wait till a boy gets 19 years old and then start trying to tell him what to do. Amen. He's already a nut. I'm talking. Come on, men. Right? At 19 years old, we were nuts. Now we thought we were geniuses. Right? We thought we knew it all, and our daddies and mommies didn't know nothing. Right? But we didn't know anything. And nobody couldn't tell us nothing because we already knew it. Well, I get tickled sometimes when I hear young folks talking. They're talking all this talk and I'm sitting there thinking. I'm just laughing, you know, because in my mind I'm knowing I used to be just like that. You know, but I've learned a few things. There's things in life that throw side things at you, kind of ambush you, you know, that kind of thing. You got to get a hold of them early. Now that still don't mean when they get older that they won't get in mischief and do some things. You know about our lives. We're always an open book to you all because Pastor Ed says I don't have any secrets. I tell everything I know, and she's pretty well right, you know, especially on her, right. But you know, I mean, even Stephanie, you know, we brought her up in church, kept her in church. She was, you know, but there was times that she wanted to get into some mischief. But you know what the Holy Ghost would tell on her? She'd try to sneak out with the girls and they wouldn't do nothing particular, but they'd just getting out and being in places they shouldn't be. And the Holy Ghost would speak to her. She'd call up her, where you at? I'm in the dorm. Why? No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Where you at? Stephanie would then kind of break down and start telling her mommy where she was at. You know, she said, I knowed you wasn't there. The Holy Ghost told me that. Stephanie goes, shoo. You know, now I'm betting she hopes that the Holy Ghost will tell her where Lillian's at. What are you thinking? Yeah. But you have to bring them up, church, in the way, and they'll do what, you know, you pray and you believe God that they'll continue on the path of righteousness and keep following after God. Now, I'm bringing all this to you tonight because I want you to see some of this. And I'm going to hurry up real quick here. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18 because this is kind of a, I got two I want to give you, and it's kind of kickers, and then we'll close this thing out. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. It says, when thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do those things, do these things, are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. People would literally get over there and get hooked up in their religion and sacrifice their kids. Think about that for just a minute. They burn up their kids. Notice that it says, don't be an observer of times. An observer of times. Well, what are you talking about? What's your sign? Horoscopes. Palm reading. Psychics. Call me now for your free reading. Right? I tell you all about your future. All stuff God says, stay away from that junk. Ain't none of that me. Matter of fact, because those people are such idiots, I'm going to drive them out before you. You see, but that gets into folks, and somebody will give them a, tell their fortune to them or say something to them, and that gets in their head. I remember, is it all right if I share? I've done it before, so I'm going to share when you went to World Harvest. Yeah, it's not always out there somewhere that you put yourself. We were at World Harvest Church. First time Sister Vicki had ever been there. And she went up with us. And she still wouldn't. She had just started coming here. And so everything was kind of new to her. You know. And so we took her up there and you know, 7,500 people or whatever in that place. And it was just, I mean, God was just blessing her all over. I mean, every time she'd stand up, God would just hit her and she'd hit the ground again. And God was just blessing her. But she went into the restroom up there and some woman grabbed her and pulled her over to the side and started trying to prophesy to her. Well, you know, she was just young at this. So she started prophesying and started talking about how her husband was going to die. Tore all to pieces. I mean, she just was tore up, you know. And I got her. I said, listen, number one, somebody got to prophesy to you in the bathroom. There's a problem. We don't need no bathroom prophets. The Bible says if there's going to be prophecy done, let it be done out and open and let it be judged. Right? Come on. And so, you know, they're telling her that he's going to die and stuff. And I just told her, I said, listen, don't believe the lies of the devil. Your husband going to live and not die. Because you're giving your life to the Lord and you're living for God, it's not going to happen. Pay no attention to that. It's just nonsense. He's still sitting here. Amen. Praise God. Retired and having the time of his life except for honeydew jobs. Praise God. But you see, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. And in the world, it happens all the time. And all it is deception to try to bring fear, to open up a place for the devil. Amen. You know, people get into all kinds of things, you know. Well, you know, I heard that house, it's haunted. Why would a devil want to be in an empty house? Do you ever think about it? I mean, you know, come on. Haunted hollow. What are they going to do in the hollow? Turkey hunt? Right? See, you've got to understand, demon spirits, devils, are looking for a person to inhabit. They're looking for a warm body that they can express themselves through. Can I tell you that there ain't no ghost but the Holy Ghost? Come on. It's just stuff that the enemy tries to use to try to instill fear. Oh, now, Pastor Mike, I don't care what you say. My great aunt so-and-so, she appeared to me after she died and talked to me. I know it. What I know is that you was talking to a demon. Because there's only two places you go after you die. If you don't die in the Lord, you go to hell. And if you die in the Lord, then you go to be in the arms of Jesus. to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm positive that Satan is not going to let your aunt so-and-so come and talk to you after they died. There ain't no middle ground where spirits walk around like they believe, trying to find where they're supposed to go. If you're saved when you die, you go to heaven. If you're lost when you die, you go to hell. That's as plain as you can put it. But you see, the enemy tries to, again, all these things are trying, you know, then there's Casper, the friendly ghost. Right? He's friendly. Stevie Nicks, she was a good witch. Right? She's supposed to be a good witch. Some of y'all didn't know that? Practice witchcraft. Yeah, I like her singing too, but that's what she used to profess. I don't know if she still does or not. There ain't no such thing as a good witch. If you're a witch, you're a witch. Nothing good about a witch. Nothing. Come on. So I'm bringing this to you so that you can decide for yourself. I'm showing you some things and you decide whether it's right or not. You can say, well, you know, just brush it aside if you want to. It's totally up to you. But you can't say again that I didn't show you from the Word where God said, stay away from that junk. Don't get around that. Look here. Let me give you another scripture here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this will be the last one that I make you turn to. Might give you one more, but I won't make you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. And not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. That's about as clear as it can get, folks. You can't do both. That's why Joshua said, choose this day who you serve. Are you going to serve the gods that your fathers served? Or are you going to serve Jehovah God? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so when we look at all this, we understand that we're spending all year long here taking our kids over to children's church. They're learning about God, learning about the things of God. And then, if you're not careful, you decide that one night that even though we're teaching them the devil's bad, that one night it's all right to be mean. It's all right to dress up as the devil. You're really erasing everything that you've taught them all year here. Again, we're supposed to be training them up in the way they should go. So you can decide. It's up to you. We are commanded to be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy even as I'm holy. And there is nothing holy about Halloween. Stand with me. Let's pray.